Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show tonight. I think we're in for a treat. Our guest tonight is Reverend Dr. David Haley Mitchell, and we're going to be talking about living your legacy now. Living your legacy now. It's a curious thing because familiar guests on the show will know how much we focus on embodying the soul, embodying your soul, and trusting the vision that your heart and your soul have conjured up for your life well before you were born. And when you trust that vision, that dream of what your life can be that you keep getting glimpses from that inner space within you, when you trust it enough to take action on it, in a simple and intentional way every day, you start to move towards your dream becoming fulfilled. The nice thing about the vision that your heart and your soul have for your life, it's always compatible with your happiness. In fact, I suggest it brings such a deep sense of satisfaction and a sense of fulfillment, because when you start to honor the intentions of your heart and your soul, it brings a sense of satisfaction at such an encompassing level within your own being that you enjoy the journey today. You enjoy your life now, even before your dreams become fulfilled. So often we can put the idea of celebration at the finish line or a sense of accomplishment at the end of the story, at the end of the journey, but I suggest to you that heaven was intended to be experienced today, and that heaven on earth, heaven embodied in you as you on earth here and now, is how life is to be lived, incidental of where you are on your journey. And that's why I like so much about our guests today. Deva has such a focus on living your legacy now, and that's such a powerful concept by itself. She is a transformational leader, a speaker, and performer who has helped thousands of people to liberate their deepest soul gifts. An expert on personal transformation and women's empowerment, Deva supports groups and individuals to navigate the obstacles that will likely rise on their destiny path. Join me in welcoming her to the show now. Welcome to the show, Deva.
Nice to be here with you, Les. I'm excited to be back on the show.
Hey, you know, we were talking before the show started, and you suggested that we start off with a short meditation to get us all on the same page, and I really like that. Do you want to go ahead and start us off with that?
I do, yes. So I want to invite everyone who's here with us on this powerful evening to just find yourself a relaxed position. If you're in a place where you are safe to close your eyes, not if you're driving, but if you are otherwise safe, go ahead and close your eyes. And I want to invite you to just begin by taking a few very deep breaths into your belly, allowing yourself to just slow down, pause. Creating this powerful, sacred time out of time. And using your exhale, I invite you to imagine anything that is in your day that may not be serving you, if there's been any level of stress, any level of anxiety, any challenge that's come up Just imagine you're using your exhale to, as much as possible, release those challenges, just letting them go. You might actually choose to make a little sound on the exhale, like this. And on the inhale, I want to invite you to imagine that you are breathing in the energy of peace. Breathing in the energy of ease, deeper ease. Breathing in the energy of fulfillment. Finally, bringing in the energy with a big breath, energy of joy. Imagine you're breathing that joy right into your heart and then allowing that energy to, in the next few in-breaths, just spread through your whole body. And just inviting you to call yourself fully present into this moment, being able to be fully here, to enjoy this conversation, to listen deeply, to allow your own soul resonance to come in alignment with ours and to really feel what's rising up in you, what's wanting to be expressed as a expression of this conversation, as your own legacy that's wanting to be lived at the next level here and now. So with that, I invite you to stay connected to this deeper place and space within you while you gently open your eyes, coming back to wherever you are in the 3D reality. You may just want to move, wiggle your fingers and your toes, maybe stretch your hands up. And I turn it back over to you, Les.
How nice. That infinite well of unconditional love that's inside us all.
Mm-hmm. If we just stop long enough to connect to it.
That's right. So, to consider our legacy, I mean, it almost seems like putting the end of the game at the front of the game. What inspired you to focus on the legacy in this now?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that question. Yeah, this topic was something that became really important to me about 10 years ago when my father contracted lung cancer. And he was quite young. He was 57 at the time. He hadn't yet retired. And he had many things that were on his bucket list that he really wanted to have happen in his life while he was still alive. And I remember sitting with him after about a year and a half of really struggling with lung cancer, and we were in the last days of his life. And as I was sitting there with him, there was this very poignant moment where, you know, he looked into my eyes and said, you know, we never know how much long we really have on this planet. And he certainly thought that he had a lot longer than he ended up having. And without it being morbid, he was looking at me saying, you know, live your life fully now. And when you're sitting here at this place in your own life, what is it that's going to really have mattered? And I had the sense in being with him that what did matter was very different than the way that I was living my life in terms of what I thought was important. And some of those things for me included pursuing an aggressive career path and wanting to have my external world look a certain way in terms of my resume, in terms of my achievement in the outside world, in terms of, you know, even things like owning a house or having a certain family, you know, the American family ideal vision, white picket fence vision.
Yeah.
And I realized that that the way that I had been living my life, which was really kind of focused on a model of success that I had inherited largely from our culture, wasn't really working for me. And if I projected myself forward to the place where my father sat, I realized that I wasn't actually living my life with the end in mind. I had thought, and most of us usually do, that we have plenty of time in our life. And whether or not you end up living less time than you expect, there's something very powerful about imagining yourself in that position and really creating an honest assessment for yourself of what will have mattered whenever death comes knocking on your door. What will have mattered? What will have caused you to feel like you led a meaningful life, a fulfilling life? What will have led you to feel like you really expressed your full purpose for being here on this planet? And in addition to what you accomplished in your life, the how and the quality of life, you know, what was the quality of the relationships? How much time did I have to spend with family or to respond in the middle of a work day to someone who was really in need, or even to just pursue some of the joys? You know, for me, I have had a big joy around music that I hadn't really pursued in a big way. It was just something, a someday, and taking those somedays off of my someday list and really incorporating them into the fabric of my life and changing some of the ways that I've lived my life to be perhaps in some ways less ambitious, but much more satisfied with my daily experience in life has caused me to feel so much more fulfilled. And then on a deeper level as well, really looking at what is my life in service to? If I'm really wanting to give back in a deep way and wanting to leave this planet a better place than I came, then to, again, not wait for, you know, sometime later in life when I'm going to give back, but really actively look at how can I be in joyful service now? What do I want at my eulogy for people to say about me in terms of the contribution that I made to the planet and the kind of person that I was? And so as I took, you know, what sometimes legacy is a topic that people think about often in the later years of life. They, you know, it seems often people are in their 70s and they start thinking about legacy, or maybe in their 60s, but not usually beforehand. And I'm in my 40s, and I have found that putting that front and center as almost a starting point of, wow, if that's the end destination, I think about a sailing boat. And if that's the destination, then, you know, then it, how do I want to craft my life in such a way that I get to that destination? And there's so many different components. There's the sail that I think of as the spirit, and the physical sailboat that is the body. But having a destination is very important to actually arrive there, giving plenty of space for your boat to meander and go down unexpected pathways. But I found as having it as a guiding compass of legacy, with the rudder being purpose, really has dramatically shifted the way I'm living my life and also my level of contentment. So I put this out as my story to ask other people to really think, and even to take a moment now, and even just maybe you could just close your eyes for another moment and just feel back into this expanded place and imagining yourself at the end of your life and imagining yourself feeling so happy and proud and joyful for the way you've lived your life. And see if there's maybe just one or two things that stand out as something that you really want to have lived or be known for.
I like the metaphor of a sailboat, because if you move the rudder an inch either way early in the journey, you end up in a completely different place.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of visualizing the legacy of your own life, that sense of fulfillment, that sense of gratitude, of it's almost like a completion of potential.
I want to tell you you're right on, because even the word fulfillment for me, when you live your legacy now, part of the outcome is you feel fulfilled as you're doing that. And the definition from Webster's of fulfillment is just what you were saying, Les, the state of having developed your full potential, as in the fulfillment of a dream or to achieve fulfillment of one hope. So, you know, what does the end game look like if you have developed and lived your full potential?
And then to become cognitive of that in this day, in this moment of your journey, and open up the choices available to you in this hour, in this minute, is the moving of that rudder.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah, and the rudder, as you know, I think of it in my work. I have kind of the whole sailboat vision. So the rudder is your purpose, which usually is very tied to your legacy. So your legacy, I think of as sort of the end game that you want to be playing, and the what you want to be known for, the contribution that you want to make. And that's a really important part, because I feel like there's so many people who are talking about, you know, living your full potential, and there's that that impulse that's very alive in Western civilization and among the cultural creatives right now. But I think sometimes what's left out is there can be a way, it can be slightly selfish of just, you know, it's all about me and my potential and who am I and what am I here to do. And there's a beauty in that, but I want to encourage people to really think beyond just themselves and what we're here to live, but it's more, it's including also, what are you here to serve? If you're about something that is bigger than yourself and bigger than your own life, and hopefully your legacy will be something that goes beyond the duration of your own life, what is that bigger something, bigger why, bigger cause that you're here to be serving? And it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to become, you know, a Greenpeace advocate, though it would be beautiful if you did, or choose, you know, whatever organization really speaks to you that you want to be an ambassador for. For me, one of the things I've very unexpectedly gotten involved with is I've become the music director at the San Quentin prison for a play project that was going on and that goes on every year, where the inmates write stories using some of the same themes from Shakespeare, and they then write stories of their own lives based on the themes. And I really followed a synchronicity to get involved there, where I was told that I had some karma actually to clear that had to do with prison work. And so it was something I never imagined doing, and it just wasn't my, you know, my passion. If anything, I have different passions, but that probably wouldn't have been it. But I said, you know, because I've gotten this unexpected message, I'll follow it briefly to see if there's something in it for me. And what has been so surprising as I'm now entering my fifth year there is that I'm certainly serving. I'm serving the inmates and I'm serving the program, but I'm also the quality of my own life has been so deeply enhanced by the conversations that are happening there, the nitty-gritty frontline work that's happening there, the conversations about race and diversity, and really negotiating perceptions. You know, I'm a white woman going into a prison with mainly the majority of the men in my particular group are of non-Caucasian origin, and many of them before interfacing with different facilitators of the program hadn't hung out with, as they said in their words, they hadn't hung out with a lot of, quote, white chicks before. And it's a bunch of white chicks that are running this parallel play program. And so, but the realness of the conversation and the coming to understand each other has been, it's been so enhancing to my life. And I've been so touched by those relationships and what's opened up there. So it's given me a place to give back, but also to expand my paradigm, expand my whole world, expand who I consider part of my circle of intimates. And it's given me the opportunity to say, wow, you know, I'm really, this is about much more than me. And now I'm interested in things I never would have been interested in before. For example, looking at prison reform, or looking at, you know, how do we, you know, change the policies so that people who are doing, you know, more minor crimes, nonviolent crimes, are not locked up for years on end. And something I never thought I'd engage with. So anyway, for those who are listening, I would just invite you to really consider for yourself if there's, you know, if there's not something already that you know is a cause bigger than yourself that you want to serve, to really hold it in your meditation and in your intention. And if you are someone that is participating in prayer, holding it in your prayers to really connect with something that is beyond yourself, where you can really plug in and make a contribution, because it's really a time on our planet where we need to all get off of our comfortable meditation cushions and really be, you know, living embodied ambassadors of the soul, ambassadors of spirit, ambassadors of love, really at the deepest level on the planet. And we need a pretty big team of ambassadors to really deal with the level of challenge that is going on our planet at this time.
And there's a unraveling of sorts when you have the vision in your everyday life, when you live your life backwards, in the sense that you have the legacy in mind at the beginning of the journey. The human potential has such intangible concepts of potential that I'm totally fascinated by the expansion of my own consciousness, in the sense of what can I embody as me through me today. And what I find is it's like a magnifying glass that's getting bigger and bigger. In that, just like I love the story you share about you find yourself going to this prison through a sense of service, and you're the one that changes. I mean, there's change on both sides for sure, but
isn't that always the way, though?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, nature always likes balance, but
mm-hmm.
when you put that the vision of the legacy on the front end, it unravels you as a point of potential, as a point of consciousness, personified, embodied as a human being. And to not have done that, to, you know, like you were mentioning, some of society is more centered in self on day in and day out, and perhaps they don't have that bigger picture of their potential. When you expand your consciousness on an ever-unfolding journey, then your legacy expands along with it. I'd like to see, to consider the dream that I have for my life now is a carrot.
Uh-huh.
Like your soul, like if you're homeless and you're living in the alley and the most wonderful thing that could happen to you is a hot, warm meal, your soul's not going to dangle the carrot of being the next Gandhi in front of you because it doesn't want you to be depressed with anything but success. So our dreams are stepping stones. And when your soul shows you a vision of your life, that's not the end game. That's the first step. And it's who unravels in you as you move towards that dream, whatever it is in this moment. And as you fulfill that dream, you expand and you embody a bigger personification of your potential, and then your dream expands in kind, and thus your legacy would expand as well.
Beautifully said, Les, really beautifully said. And I want to actually tell a little story that really exemplifies exactly what you've just stated. One of the things that I do is I run programs largely for women, but men are certainly invited. I run a program that's called the Feminine Alchemy Immersion Program, where we work with different archetypes of the sacred feminine. And in short, what is happening there is people are given different pathways for basically expanding into the fullness of who they are by learning to embody 13 different aspects of the sacred feminine. And in this program, there was a woman, her name is Kim, and she, as we went into this process and we were doing some work around, we were using the idea of the tombstone, of really, you know, what would you want to have written on your tombstone? And in her case, you know, here lies a woman who. And she was really thinking about, you know, what did she want that tombstone to say, in addition to being a loving family member, what did she want her legacy to be? And she got clear that, wow, what she would love is to have it say something like, you know, here lies a woman who was a Nobel Peace Prize winner. And what came out of that was an inquiry inside herself, you know, whether or not she actually wins the Nobel Peace Prize someday. But she started asking the question of, who would I need to be? Who would I need to be? And how would I need to be living my life and showing up in my life in order for that to be my end game? As you were saying, Les, you know, that dangling carrot. And whether or not she actually wins that prize, the idea of that, the idea of who she would need to be in order for that to be a possibility, opened up a whole new way of living her life and of spending her time and of, you know, she was someone who at the time was working in corporate America and you know, kind of had those golden handcuffs where she was being paid very well but wasn't necessarily feeling like she was fulfilling her soul's dharma. And she realized that, you know, she wanted to be a a voice for kind of like the nameless children or for the orphaned children. All those, you know, there's so many epidemics that have left a huge number of orphans around the world, and she wanted to be kind of like a mother figure and a voice for those children. And so her whole life since that point has radically shifted. She's left her career. She's really reinvented herself. She's been looking, you know, spent time going to Africa and looking how to bring other people on service-oriented trips. And I just love what you're saying about this dangling carrot. Having that in front of you is this beautiful thing, because then it opens up your ability to co-create with spirit, where totally unimagined things, like you may not know, and you don't really need to know every single step of how something's going to manifest. And you need to also have space to let go that exactly what you originally thought may not manifest. It may go in a different path as you're opening to the synchronicities of life and as you're opening to co-create with spirit. But it allows a process to happen where then the universe gets to begin to delight you with unimagined opportunities. And at the same time, the universe usually will present you with a series of challenges or initiations that can be at times very trying, very harrowing. But there's something in going through those initiations that's actually preparing you and causing you to become that person you need to be in order to live the fullness of this expression that your soul is wanting to live. So it's a very powerful process we go into when we start living from this bigger possibility.
Oh, sure. And the vastness of the vision, I like the story you shared when the idea of a Nobel Peace Prize was held in our consciousness, the idea of children and embodying this new direction in her life was the doorway. That idea wouldn't have happened had she not had the inspiration of the idea of the Nobel Prize. It's like mm-hmm. the dream, when we say yes to the dream, when we actually trust that the dream has been vetted for us, we don't have to rationalize it, we don't have to bring it into our ego minds to justify it, it's already pre-approved. And then when the ego can trust that, then it can embody a bigger idea today. Whereas if the dream is a fallacy, then the idea of the dream, the ideas of the dream, which are the doorway to the change, cannot find a landing place in our consciousness, in our minds.
Yes. Yes, it's true. And I want to add to what you're saying, Les, that there's a place where, I'm sure many of people have seen this movie that's now, it's now old news, the movie of The Secret. And I've had the benefit of spending a lot of time with a number of people who were in that movie. And one of the things that I think is sort of a shadow of The Secret, or even of, you know, the whole idea of the law of attraction, is that people hear this or watch the movie, and the idea is, well, I just need to, you know, set my intention, my vision, my legacy, whatever you want to fill in the blank with what you're intending, and then there can be this place where magical thinking starts to happen of, well, I've set my intention, and now I just need to put it out to the universe and kind of sit back and let myself attract in the Nobel Peace Prize or attract in whatever it is that's the vision that you want to achieve. And I worked actually very closely with a man who used to run part of the business for John Assaroff. And John Assaroff is, you know, a big, well-known person kind of within this whole movement. And he said one of the things that deeply disturbed him was just this, the number of people who were were so disappointed that it didn't work. What happened? They put out their intention and they opened to the universe, and then they felt like, you know, they failed somehow. And he said, what people don't realize is that's the first step. The first step is setting the intention and clearing the blocks and clearing the mental pathways and all the things that limit us inside, our own critical voices, the parts of us that are afraid of our greatness, the parts that want to self-sabotage. Yes, that's very important. But he was sharing with me, what people seem to leave out is that in addition to that, there's a lot of hard work day to day of taking the steps and doing the work and putting in the sweat. And it doesn't have to be onerous necessarily. You can be sweating joyfully and you know, taking the steps in with a good attitude and a good spirit, but it's not going to just happen in a magical way. Now, of course, sometimes things do happen in magical ways, but, you know, the majority, it's like, you know, it's maybe 90% sweat or 80% sweat and then 10 or 20% magic at times. And it really made me think of this old quote that I've heard years ago from a teacher of mine who was a Sufi master. And the quote that he would say was, "Yes, pray to Allah, but tie your camel." Meaning you don't just like, you know, leave your camel and think that it's going to stay right there and nothing's going to happen. You still have to do the things in the 3D world to, you know, secure your camel so it doesn't run away and take the steps and do the work and not be in a space of pure magical thinking of it. It's like, you know, there's part magic and part human 3D reality that needs to be navigated as well. And so I just want to speak this out loud so that if doing whatever you're wanting to do also requires a certain amount of dedication and persistence and failure at times. Failure can be one of those initiations that I was mentioning that happen on the pathway towards the fulfillment of your full potential that actually hone you and prepare you and have you learn and grow. But so if that's going on, I'd say you're on track. You don't need to, you know, worry or fear that it's not happening, because that usually is the way that it does happen. You know, your legacy is something that you also are gonna need to do some work around creating the causes for it to unfold in the most magical way. And letting yourself and your actions be a portal for spirit moving through you, but moving through your hands, moving through your feet, moving through your voice, not just moving through you meditating and thinking it's all going to happen on its own.
So what you're saying then is I can't sit here by the phone and just intend on winning the Nobel Prize until the phone rings announcing my success.
Right. It's not going to be like the lottery where someone calls you out of the blue. Hey!
There's actually a process when they give out the Nobel Prize, and people submit work that they have done. So there's an element of accomplishment to it. It's you can take that to the spiritual seeker too. I mean, how many people are like, you know, damn it, I want to be enlightened, and I want to be enlightened now. I'm going to, you know, meditate until I have found the promised land. And it's almost like they push it farther out from where they are, saying that they're not it now. And if they hold the idea of it lightly, and then engage in what they enjoy. Because, you know, it's like if the end game doesn't have a sense of heaven on earth and a sense of joy and fulfillment and happiness, it's not encompassing of the totality of who you are. And mm-hmm. that encompassing comes from you showing up in your passion and in your joy and in your desires, and that comes from within you. Mm-hmm. And so to engage in an everyday way, what fulfills you is the step closer to that authentic place within your being than sitting on a chair saying, I'm going to shut my life off and sit here and disconnect from this human experience and then hope to find all those things that come through action.
Right, right. It's like, I'm sure you've heard that catchphrase that is saying, you know, yes, that's what people say, he was an overnight success, 10 years in the making. So it's the success, the fulfillment, the Nobel Peace Prize, whatever it is, may come, you know, overnight, suddenly, boom, you're the Nobel Peace Prize winner, or you're whatever it might be, an Academy Award winner, or a mom, whatever it might be, but the process of actually getting to that point is a journey. And the paradox that I want to invite us into is there's a way that when you're really looking at the end game, it can be a very masculine kind of paradigm. You know, there I'm going this way. You know, look, the sailboat's heading to that direction. And there's also the feminine aspect, which is not so much about the destination. It's important, but the feminine is more about the journey itself, not just where is the sailboat going, but, you know, what kind of snacks and appetizers do we have on the sailboat, and who's on the sailboat with us, and what kind of conversations are we having, and are we going, you know, directly? No, usually the sailboat jigs and jags back and forth towards its destination, and that journey itself, the paradox is how can we hold a vision of possibility, a vision of legacy in mind and in heart and in intention, but at the same time be fully open to the journey, because the journey is life itself. That is where there's the juice. That is where there's the magic and the unfolding. And then are we willing to, as we open to the journey and really open to how spirit leads us on the journey, of course, the destination might shift because the journey has unveiled a next piece for us that perhaps is even more interesting, even more appealing, even more soul-aligned than the original destination that we were thinking of. There's a new destination that arises. And so there's this paradox of holding the vision and opening to the winding, meandering journey, holding the masculine that's more like the straight arrow moving towards its target, and then opening to the spiral that is often the feminine that's meandering and that's paying attention to more of the synchronicities and the spontaneous things that are occurring. So I feel like the call for those of us alive today is to really harness both of these energies inside of ourselves. And some of the work I do with my clients is working with an archetype of the androgyne, which is both male and female. You know, we've been living in a very masculine world. So for most of us, men and women, there's a place where the deep feminine really wants and needs to be developed on a deeper level and given more space, given more room for spontaneity and creativity and play. But it's not about abandoning the masculine in the process, because the masculine really helps us with the structure and the discipline and creates that scaffolding almost that then can, sure. It's almost like the bones that then the feminine can relax into, or the canvas that then the feminine can paint on. And so how do we embody this androgyne in our life so that we can be neither male nor female and yet both male and female, no matter what body we're in, but really using kind of the best of both of these energies in order to manifest our legacy, in order to live the fullest life that we can live. And so it's really, for me, it's a very exciting journey, and to see, you know, which part of ourselves is stronger. Are we more masculine, more feminine in different parts of our being, and how do we strengthen both sides so that we can really live as the embodiment of sacred union, so many people are looking outside of themselves for the sacred other. You know, it's whether you're in a heterosexual relationship or a same-sex relationship, there's usually these complementary energies, and we can say, you know, here's my energy. I'm looking for this other person to complete me. Together we make this a whole. But it's saying, how do you start first with a sacred marriage inside yourself where you're balanced, you're whole, you're holding both energies, and then you're bringing in someone else, calling in another partner who's also balanced and whole, and then what can happen when we catalyze each other from that space of wholeness?
Oh, sure. The most powerful place in any energy system is a place of balance, and that masculine
right.
and feminine by themselves cannot embody it. It is the balance of the two. So we just got about 10 minutes left here. Let's look at for me, when I look at society, there's vast amounts of people living in suffering, in poverty, in oppression, and whatnot. So we're coming through this transition of human consciousness, and there's people whose legacy it is to be a game changer at such a massive level that oftentimes the ego will say, well, that can't be me because. And let's just talk a little bit about the ability to trust in the vision, the legacy that our heart and our soul shows us, because very, very powerful people are going to come out of the darkness as the embodiment of light.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say to that, to the trust of the legacy that your heart and your soul have to show you?
Yeah, I think it is really about trusting that. And there is, I see each soul really as this beautiful flower. And, you know, a flower is planted as a seed, and you are encoded like a seed is encoded. If you were a flower seed, a rose, for example, you would be coded to bloom and to blossom. And that is really, in from my lens, that really is why we're here and why we've come. And there are contributions needed at so many different levels. You know, not everyone can be a Bill or Melinda Gates, you know, eradicating disease at huge scale. And there's no reason why not either. I remember that beautiful poem that comes from Marianne Williamson, which is saying, you know, I can't exactly remember, but something like, who am I to be fabulous and wonderful and amazing? And it was then, do you know it?
Well, I'm helping you along, but I don't have it word for word.
Well, the question is, you know, you're saying, who am I to be fabulous? And then the response was, well, who are you not to be? And I know in myself, there's a place where I, you know, have thought, well, there's certain people who are destined for like huge things in the world. And, you know, I've had the experience of living up close, really up close to a friend of mine who ended up marrying Gavin Newsom, who was the mayor of San Francisco. And she's someone that was actually one of my college roommates and a young friend for my whole life. And then, you know, Gavin Newsom has now become the lieutenant governor, and he's probably going to be running for governor very soon and is very popular, so he probably has a reasonable chance of winning. And if you project forward, he could probably run for president at some point. And so I've had the chance to be up close with someone who is a close friend of mine. And when I look at a distance, you know, from someone like that, like a Maria Shriver, who was the wife of Arnold
right.
Schwarzenegger, governor of California, you think, well, they're different. They're made of something else. But then having this opportunity going, my friend and I were pretty similar, you know, in fact, you know, and she's not so different from me. It suddenly created this humanizing of, you know, she's doing amazing things and he's doing amazing things, but they're not made of different stuff than I'm made of. And so suddenly this someone out there doing something that is not in my soul code became much more, oh, wow, like we could be doing this too. There's no reason why not. We're made from the same stuff. And so I want to invite you all to, you know, not think it's just someone else out there doing something on a big scale that's amazing. But yet at the same time, we each are coded in our own unique way. And so we need people being governors and presidents and winning Nobel Peace Prizes, and that is beautiful. But we also need people who are the loving person who is helping you at the supermarket and helping you find what you need, or the person who is willing to, you know, just smile at you as you're, you know, receiving your food from this person who's a waiter or waitress, and give you just give you love and compassion when you need it. Or that we all need the person who's going to be on the end of the phone line when our friend calls in a state of distress. And so the planet that I know I want to live in, which is a planet that works for all, is a planet where we're thriving instead of surviving. We need people playing at all levels, and they're all really important. It's equally important to have a very loving caregiver and provider as a nurse in the hospital who's the person, you know, feeding spoonfuls of soup into your mouth when you're at your worst moment, as it is, you know, people who are taking their company public and, you know, whatever it might be. So
sure.
Whatever your soul's code is, to really trust that there is a beautiful unfolding, and that there's a soul curriculum that is in store for you. I personally, my own cosmology is one where I do believe that souls reincarnate through various lifetimes, and I know the listeners may or may not agree with that, but from my cosmology, I believe that we're coded to have all different kinds of experiences in life, to learn how to play really big in some lifetimes, and also there's a deep humility from learning in other lifetimes how to be, you know, the janitor, or how to be perhaps even homeless, whatever is the call, to really have the broad spectrum of the human experience, so that as a soul, you can relate to, have compassion for, and really wrap your arms around the whole human condition, as well as, you know, the planetary condition. So I invite you to trust whatever that soul code may be, and it's not too big or too small, but don't think it's not, whatever the dream is, that you're not up for it, because you probably wouldn't have that dream unless some part of your soul is actually up for it, and it's just about you continuing to expand to be the person you need to become in order to live that out.
Yeah, it's your booty that's the best seat in the house for your lifetime. Where you are is where you're intended to be. And, you know, the idea of the epic life journey and the Gandhi and the, you know, the waves of humanity and such, that can be a crux as well, in the sense that if your ego has that as a intention, but your soul has you in hospice or in service, wherever you sit is the best seat in the house for your journey. In other words, don't look at somebody else's life and long for their vision, because their vision won't fulfill you like your own vision will. Trust mm-hmm. in what your imprint, what your paradigm is that gives you the deepest sense of satisfaction, no matter what that is, be it a large scale mm-hmm. or a very small scale.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well said.
Well, you know, an hour can go by pretty fast, and I want to make sure listeners can
indeed
can get connected with your events and material. Can you share that with us now?
Sure. Well, one thing I'd love to let people know about two different things. First of all, if you are someone that is interested in engaging with me personally, I do have a private practice and I do run a bunch of different retreats and courses, including online courses. You can go to my website, which is deva.com, and my name is spelled D-E-V-A and then another A.com. And one thing you'll see there is I have a series of free gifts that you will have access to if you decide to join my mailing list. Those include an audio, which is called Birthing Your Soul's Calling. It's about an hour-long audio about how you can really birth exactly what it is you came here to live and do. I also have a meditation that I give out, which is it's about a 20-minute meditation to music that I set and wrote myself. That's the meditation's called Expanding Your Radiance and Clearing Blocks. Very helpful for, you know, doing the soul part of the journey that we talked about. There's also a music track. I'm a musician as well. So there's a song called Birth of a New Way that I wrote that is part of that package. And then given the content of tonight's conversation, I wanted to let you know if you do join my mailing list, you can sign up for whatever options you're interested in there. There's different, you know, topics that you can sign up for to find information about. But there's one checkbox that says, I think it's an ebook that I'm creating on the topic of fulfillment, of finding true fulfillment. And so if you check that tick box, as soon as the ebook is ready, which I'm almost done with writing right now, I will send that to you as well. And that's kind of a deeper dive into some of the topics. Legacy is one of the pieces around creating a fulfilling life. So that's all available. And if you need to interface with me personally, you can do that through my website as well. And if you're interested in private coaching or anything like that. But what I also would love to let people know about is there is a wonderful free summit that I run each year that's called the Inspiring Women Summit. And you can go to www.inspiringwomensummit.com. Again, www.inspiringwomen, women with an E, inspiringwomensummit.com. And this year, the live sessions will be happening May 1st through 4th. And it's all part of its video and part of its audio, but it all happens online and it's free. And we have a number of amazing speakers this year. Marianne Williamson, who many of you probably know, will be speaking. Gangaji, who's an incredible spiritual teacher, will be teaching. Nina Simon, who's someone who has helped co-created a very powerful nonprofit around the environment called Bioneers, is speaking. We have Sally Kempton, another great speaker. But it's very powerful content of women who inspire each other, who are in dialogues. And there's also opportunities each day for you to network and engage and meet other people to be sharing your message and finding other like-minded people. So we'd love to have you involved. There's been about 80,000 women involved in our summits to this point, our Inspiring Women Summit, and I think from about 160 countries. So it's a very global, it's I think the largest online women event that happens every year. And we would love to have you participate, whether you're a man or a woman. We, you know, it's designed with women in mind, but we also have plenty of men participating who are getting a lot of value as well.
Well, very nice. I love what you're doing. The compassion of your heart for humanity is quite evident in your words and deeds. So, you know, I want to thank you for being our guest on the show. It's always a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much, Les. It's really, I love your questions and I love your own deep engagement with the material that's brought forward. So it's really fun to be in dialogue with you and not just interviewed by you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, we all have more potential to reveal about ourselves. It's an ever unfolding story. And it shows just like this, with guests just like Deva, that touch us at a deeper level. And you showed up for yourself today by listening to this show. And I encourage you to, you know, when we travel, if we're catching a plane somewhere, if we're getting the car to drive to work, spans of time where our bodies are pretty much preoccupied. And that's an excellent time to feed the soul, to feed your mind, new opportunities. And I suggest you go to newhumanliving.com and put on your phone as a web page, and we have our radio archives there, and you can listen to shows. We have all kinds of shows for men and women, for business, for spirituality, for healing, for authentic living. And when you take the time out to feed yourself this healthy dialogue, you're changing yourself. You're moving the rudder of your own sailboat towards living a more authentic life. And what a wonderful way to honor who you are. You know, it's always a pleasure joining you. I'm your host, Les Jensen, and until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.